The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Welcome to the Pat Buck Show. I'm your host, Pat Buck. I haven't done this in a while, and I'm not going to apologize this time. You guys know it's a little busy, but I took off the month of December and to map out the rest of my year. So here I am, courtesy of the Shining Wizards podcast or network, whatever. You know what it is, I think, I hope, and they just did 5 years of podcasting, which is kind of cool because I think I've done... Man, if you count all the years, like I don't feel like a fraud. I'll get to that about how long I've been podcasting, even though you can't really listen to stuff pre this or pre conversation with the big guy. But I've been doing it for a while. I have a little bit of podcast cred, but congrats to them. And this is a free podcast, a promotional tool. I don't have any sponsors, but what I could do is double dip and tell you guys to go to macweldon.com, use the code GUY, because they don't pay me, but they pay a conversation for the big guy, which then we split. And then, but go there and I don't know, get some underwear or something. You hear about that on the other show. I would promote WrestlePROOnline.com. I can promote CreatorProWrestling.com. And what we are gearing up for is a big open house because at the core of it, being a podcaster, the more important thing to me is being a trainer, being a teacher, a leader. Just a guy, you know what? No, training people is awesome. Keeps me in shape, keeps me sane. It tortures my body. You lose a lot of patience. I've lost even more hair, but it's been a wild road. And we're having an open house on December 14th in New Jersey, December 15th on Long Island and Hicksville. So all that information. If you ever thought about being a wrestler, or you just want to come see what it's about, come down, fly in, do stuff. I don't know. Buy someone a fucking. Create a pro membership for a year. Be a good father, even if they're not old enough yet. Buy it for them, and I'll keep it. I'll honor it when they turn the age of, I don't know what age I start training people. 16 seemed appropriate, and we got a couple good students that were 16. I've also had a couple nightmares that have been 16, and I've had nightmares that are way older than that. But I feel like 17, 18, even you really got to be mature. Because so many things happen. Too many impressionable people. Okay, I have a whole list of shit, though. And I'm going to promote WrestlePro Online. I just did that, you fucking idiot. I don't have a show until January 7th. And then January 20th, I believe, I have a Creator Pro show. I believe. If that date's wrong, I apologize. I'll do more of these beforehand. We need some help. You know, I just had my biggest... I'm going to talk about that, too. Because I think the only reason why a lot of people listen is just to hear... you know, the stories from the past shows. And I had my most successful show I ever ran with the Broken Hardys and Ryback and myself in the main events, you know? So that was a fun time. Let me just get to my notes because I sat in my car yesterday. I have a different schedule now and I'm finally starting to get used to it, but I moved. Yeah, guys, I know I talked about this before, but I moved. I went from Rahway, but I'm keeping my apartment in Rahway. Because all my stuff is there. You know, my work stuff, my work truck. Can't bring that to Queens. I'm back in Queens. I was born in Queens, and now I'm back here at 32 years old, back home. In a different area, in a way cooler area. I'm in Astoria. I like it a lot. It's right outside Manhattan for you people that are not local, which I think most people listen to this. Either you heard of me from the other podcast, or I don't know, or you just... You already know I moved because that's probably all I talk about because it's been the worst move of my entire life. And as a pro wrestler, I know a lot of guys, you know, we're used to traveling, but moving's different. Moving sucks, man. But I was good at it. I think I have a record, and if anyone can beat me, that's fine. But I've had 33 roommates in my life. I swear to God, I counted one day. 33 roommates I've lived with. Some people don't have never had any. Some have had a handful. I've probably lived in, I think I'm up to like 5 or 6 states, and I just kind of traveled around. You know, I really am a gypsy. You know, it's not for, I'm probably the most, for the amount of time I've been around in wrestling, you know, I don't have that much traveling experience whatsoever. I've never been outside the country. I really haven't. I think I've passed through Canada before. I never wrestled there. I was supposed to a couple times, but just never happened. I never went overseas. I never wrestled. I'm dying to wrestle in England. I talk to fucking like 3 English promoters every week, not for me, but for other things, for whether how WrestlePro is going or Ryback stuff. But I've wrestled a lot. I'm like, I don't know. I just find that weird. I've traveled so much as a human being for wrestling, but I'm probably not a very well-traveled wrestler. Yet I've had, you know, a lot compared to everyone else, a lot of matches and probably more dojo training time than I think anyone on the history of the planet. I honestly believe that I've spent more time either teaching or in the ring than maybe any professional wrestler, I think ever. Not ever, but for being 32 and being training fucking 4 days a week, hours on ends, doing the stuff, being around it. I think that I'm the weirdest fucking case in the world, you know, but I haven't fucking left the country. I haven't wrestled in Mexico. I'm a failure, guys. I promote good shows, but let's talk about the good shows I do. Let's talk about the move first, because this kind of weighed heavy on me. I moved and you realize like it used to be easy when you're younger to move. That's why I did it so much. I had no furniture. I had an air mattress. I had plastic things from Walmart to put my clothes in. You know, I had my clothes, which I still don't really have a lot of clothes, but like, you know, it's just a swoop of the closet and you put it in and you pack up your car and you just go. I had no problem moving whatsoever. But now as you get older, I haven't moved in like 4 years, you know, and I'm still in Rahway and I left all my stuff in Rahway because I'm keeping that as my quote work office, which it really is. It's a nice tax write off too. And I get to have my brother live there and help him out. And I need it too. I need that place to be there because of, like I said, the ring truck's there, you know, Laverne's in the backyard. I got all my ring stuff, like my lights. Where am I going to put this shit? I'm in an apartment in Astoria, you know? But moving this time is tough. Being a married man, I like nice things. I don't have those plastic things anymore. I have a nice bed. I used to have a shitty air mattress. Now I have a mattress that probably weighs about 10,000 pounds. And how do I know this? Because I actually took it from my parents-in-law. That's not the word. God damn it. Do you say parents-in-law? I know you say mother-in-law and father-in-law. Let's just say whatever. My new parents. And they were lucky enough to give us like a nice, real posturpedic mattress, like memory foam, very firm. I can't sleep on a soft bed. I think me and Ryback talk about that, about how beds can really fuck you up. And they gave it to us and I had to muscle it onto my car by myself. Now my wife is there, but she's, you know, she's not exactly a linebacker, and she cheered me on as I put it on top of my car and bring it to Queens and take it off my car and try to get it up a narrow flight of stairs. Almost gave myself a hernia. And then when you unload in Queens and you realize anything that you move it, we bought all brand new stuff because it's like that. Cause I'm incredibly wealthy and, no, but we bought like a new TV, new furniture, and everything comes in boxes and there's no garbage here. So I got to take the boxes out, walk 3 blocks to my car, put them in, throw them out at the rec center, come back in. And it was just an ordeal, but I'm saying it gets harder as you get older because you like nicer things. And I realize like, you know, I used to have, you know, a little shitty box TV and now I have a 70-inch TV on the wall. And like that has to happen or else I'm not happy. And I realize I'm completely materialistic when it comes down to the furniture stuff. And I think as you get older, you just become more aware. And that moving, it was shitty. I built a fucking closet. I'm not handy, guys. I am not. Yes, I know rings. I know everything there is to know about a professional wrestling ring. Well, maybe not. I actually learned something from DJ Hyde. which I thought would never happen in the history of wrestling. But he taught me something important about a ring that I was like, oh, I'm mad I didn't know that. But I built a closet. You guys should see this thing. It's great. All right, enough about fucking closets. So I have this new commute now because it's on my schedule, and I know you guys listen to this to hear about the stuff. And I commute. So now, like, you're in Queens, and now I got a shorter commute going to the old Creator Pro School, and I have a longer commute going to the Rahway School. I'm in the middle. So no matter what way I go, I'm going at least an hour and something to get there, especially even when I leave early. There's traffic. It sucks. But it's threw me off, and that's why it took a little long. I want to talk about November 19th. I was supposed to have two shows, and it really bummed me out that I canceled the other one, my first show in history I ever canceled. And I mentioned that on the last conversation with the big guy, or one of those episodes, about how it was just not, you know, it was a bad situation. I could have ran the show, but I had a feeling it would be the equivalent of having a wrestling show at like the Apollo Theater. And I feel like I'd be chasing people for money that didn't give a shit about wrestling. And it just wasn't right. And I'm so glad I canceled, because it just was the right thing to do. And actually, instead, since it canceled, I was home with, and I felt bad because Cabana was with me, and he was supposed to do a double shot. And he's so great to WrestlePro. He's still the best person to book. As you hear the sirens in the background, I'm sorry, it's Queens. But he was actually recording at my house with Sam Roberts. And I kind of sat there, and I'm like, oh, like and they're talking back and forth about their podcast. And I felt like too, like, even though they're good friends, like very good friends of mine, like I didn't want to bring up like the fact that I podcast too, because they're so professional with it and they know so many things. And they were talking about microphones and editing, and I'm just sitting there like, I feel very low rent. And I'm like, okay, Cabana's here, Sam's here. They got their professional thing. They talk about when they sneeze, they go back and they edit it out. I'm like, holy shit. And I've come to realize that even though they're independent and Colt's completely independent, he has a professional podcast. I have an independent podcast. Like I don't take any sneezes out, this one or the other one. I'm like, I'm very low rent, but they I'm blessed because they are very helpful and I'm helpful to them. And this show nor the other one wouldn't exist without Cabana passing me the old podcast lightsaber, the recording equipment that, you know, but I love learning from them because they know what the fuck they're doing. And they've helped me and they've featured me before. They're just good people. So that's what we did on Sunday. Saturday was great, and it was very low pressure. You know how I talk about on other shows how if I run a show, I'm a ball of nerves. My wife and a couple other people were like, you're not nervous. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I know the crowd. The pre-sale was great. We got into the building relatively early. All the equipment is up. The only thing that was frustrating to me is I like to light my show. And if you want to see this show, go to WrestlePro Online. Go to the Facebook page. Excuse me, no. We're streaming them on Facebook. I'll get into that soon about what's going to happen in the future, I think. But you can watch stuff on YouTube. We've been pretty decent with that. And there's a lot of fan cams, too, that record our stuff. And I watched it today because I haven't seen the footage yet from the 20th. And now we're, what, you know, 11 days after? Doing the math. Yeah, 11 days after. Those things just take time. You know, everyone's got real life jobs to do. I wish I could see it right away, but it doesn't work out. That's why we stream them for free. So anyway, like, and yeah, I'm wrestling in the main event. And I don't mean that with an ego thing, but like the ball of nerves I was for Cody and that show, because it's a singles match and it's like, okay, I got to be concerned for this and that. And we didn't talk about it. I knew this one would be easy. So anyway, let me explain booking the show. I knew I'd have the Hardys here. Obviously I have Ryback here. He's not going to be on every show, but he's going to be on a lot of shows. And if I can have the Hardys back, they would too. Cause I like them. I like them. I like Cody. I like Ryback. Like, Cabana's on as many as possible. Like, I book the people that are fucking cool. And that's a big part of why I wasn't nervous too. I don't have to worry about some fucking old timer legend. I don't want to be a dick, but like when you have to worry about the temperament and the moodiness of people that don't give a shit to be at your promotion, like that affects my mood and the energy of the show. Like, oh, are they happy today? Please be okay to being here on time. And it's always the thing of the show, because the signing, let me clear snot out of my nose. The signing starts at 6 p.m. and I want them there at the table ready to go, because I want doors to open, because I want to start at 8 o'clock. And you never know, like, they can be schmoozing with someone in the back, and it's so fucking awkward to, like, tap dance over and be like, hey, I need you, and no one else is going to do it for me. Yeah, if I'm like, hey, go get that fucking guy and go bring, you know, go get Ric Flair. Tell him we need him outside here. And, you don't do that. So I do it myself. Like, hey, is it cool? Can we go out? Let me show you where you're going to be. And normally it works out, but sometimes who fucking knows? It's gotten better over the years. Like I said, I've been through the trenches with dealing with pieces of shit like Vader and like just moody people. Coco Beware comes to mind. Not for that, but I've just seen these guys like, and I don't know why I just said that right now. Like, I don't mind talking shit, but I mean, like, I legit one time saw, and I have no idea what it was about, like, Coco got into a fight with his vendor, and he sat there cross-armed, making, like, a mean face. I don't have time for this. I really don't. Like, I'm booking the people I want to book that I like, you know, and if people want to come in and sign, great, and they're not on my dime, cool, whatever, go fucking do it. But if I'm paying that person, let's go. And the Hardys are there, and Ryback, and, you know, Cabana, and was Sanjay on this show? No, because he just had his his second child. Congrats to him. He's a great dude. He wasn't there, but we're moving. Sanjay's on a lot of things too, because he's great in the ring. He's a great mind. He's great with the guys, and he's reliable. Reliable is like the key word. So everything went great. Everyone signed. You know, I got a little panicky for two reasons. One, I like to light the show. You can see the lighting on, you know, YouTube or whatever. And I have these things I bought. They're wireless transmitters. Because when I first bought this lighting system, and you know, people may not be interested, but think about this. All these fucking independent wrestling places, they have this, like, I don't know. A lot of places don't light their thing. They just, lights are on and what you see is what you get. And that makes it cool, whatever. That's fine. But I don't believe in that. I like to, some places, if it's a smaller building and I just can't light the place, I get that. But I want to make my thing a show, because someone made this analogy once. It always stuck in my brain that even if, you know, Steve Austin and Rock are fighting in the middle of the ring and the lights are on, no matter what, it looks like shit. And I believe that's true. Now, I know there's places that are very well lit, that are independent, and they go for that because that's the cool thing these days. Great. I want a show. I want, you know, the lighting, because here's what I think. If you can draw those 300, 400, 500,000 people that are wild and crazy and independent, turn the lights on. That'll come across really cool. They'll have passion, they'll have energy. Or if you have the right venue and you can pack it, you can get away with that. If you have a big venue and you have the lights on, you're not going to be inhibited to react the way you would if they were off. And that's just a fact. Picture going to the movies and the lights are on. You know, if you feel less comfortable to laugh at something, less comfortable to go to a stand-up show and the lights are on. There's something to entertainment. That's why I like the lights off, the lights on the ring. However, the lights on the ring, I used to have them change color. If you saw back in with my old company, I could do entrances, and like, that's a cool touch, because like, a lot of places don't have that. But the reason why I had that, I wired them. The wires go up, they go down, they go across the seats. I taped them down, and it was a fucking nightmare to figure that out. And a lot of wires, a lot of tape, and I'd lose like 2 hours of setup time, if not more. And that most time it's me doing it, because like I said, my guys are great with setup. But when it comes down to the lighting system and it comes down to things like that, they're nowhere to be found, and they don't give a fuck, because it's just easy to like, okay, I'll lift a chair, but I don't want to learn how to do lights and I don't want to fuck it up. So I bought these things, a wireless light transmitter, where I could put the transmitter on each of my light poles, and it'll change the color from a wireless headboard in the back, light board. So like, while I'm in the back and there's no wires, I just press the button, change to blue, red, pink, whatever. I can strobe, lights go off, turn them back on, someone's in the ring. I spent 2 hours trying to figure this out and I gave up. So I'm encouraging my guys listening, if you want to help WrestlePro, please learn about LEDs and the light board and a wireless system, and I will thank you dearly. That's your homework. If you can figure that out, we can enhance the show, we can do a lot more things, everyone could have, because the lights I fucking bought are expensive. And you could have it where the lights go with the music, like everyone's entrance music. So that was like the only hassle. Aside from, we fixed the ring. And I know, do you want to hear about ring stories? Well, you've come to the right place. One of the things with the ring is we noticed over time, I don't want to say the ring was sinking, but I wrestled it for Jersey All Pro and they rented my ring. And DJ Hyde, and it kills me to put him over, although I do like DJ. He came to me, he goes like, hey, you don't have a spider on your ring, do you? I go, no, didn't. There's no part to put one. He goes, oh yeah, that's the high spots ring, they don't have them anymore. But what will help you out is if you put like straps going in X underneath the ring, and it'll pull everything closer together. Therefore, my posts will stand up straighter, and the ring will have better footing because the boards will lay perfectly flat. And I was so mad that I didn't know that. I was like, really? I was like, fuck. I wasn't mad. I was just like, holy shit. I learned something because I thought I knew it all about rings. And then we did that the next day and we fixed the beams where all my guys were putting the beams of the ring because, hey, fans know this. It's not a fucking trampoline and it's cushiony, but it's not cushion at all. The metal beams I had, everyone was putting them like a U. So when you took a bump, it was loud as fuck and it would give. But it didn't feel right when you're running the ropes. Like you're like, oh, this is very bouncy, but it doesn't make it any softer. So we flipped them around so they're like a big McDonald's M or just like arched. And that fixed everything. Chris Payne, I think he's not to blame. He deserves all the praise because that ring, that show, I felt like I had a brand new ring. I felt very professional. We had new buckles I got from High Spots. They're gold with logo. Really check this out. I have new aprons coming. I think a new canvas coming. We're really putting in money into the upgrades and trying to make this a show that everyone wants to go to. And props to my, you know, social media director or who knows, maybe future partner. But he's been working on things too with adding to, you know, we're looking at guardrail covers. I bought those new guardrails I talked to you guys about. I know this may not be the most exciting thing, but just know that if you have these little things, you know, you get taken more seriously. Like Jeff Hardy never met me before. I never met him either. And he comes in, he's like, oh, Pat, hey, what's going on? And one, I'm like, oh shit, he knows who I am. That's kind of nice. And when they see the setup and they're like, oh, this is nice stuff you have here. And it's not rented and I fucking own it. That's cool, man. And there's a lot of opportunities that I may fall into because I own my own stuff. And if you learn anything from this podcast, own your own shit. Don't fuck finance it. Try to get low interest, but don't fucking rent anything. Oh, try to own it. Smartest thing I ever did in my life.
If you're looking for hot, wet, sizzling wrestling talk, you need to listen to the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Board hot studs from New Jersey. Guaranteed to satisfy your cardinal wrestling desires. Listen to them on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audioboo, and the Shining Wizards Network. Visit them at shiningwizards.com. It's wrestling talk. Ooh, and talk about wrestling.
Okay, so, out of breath, man. The most successful show ever. That was my notes. About 8 o'clock happens and I want to start the show on time. Problem is the Hardy's autograph line is still going, which is a great problem to have because, well, they were, myself and Chad were keeping their merch money, which is what you do. And you cut deals with people and that's just how you do it. So we're like, fuck, this line is long. This is great. The line keeps, you know, but at the same time too, I'm panicky Pete and I know I want the show to start. And it started about 20 minutes later, and I'm going to do a pre-show from now on, which I normally hate them. But what I like to do now is I get an extra guy's spots in the show. They wrestle with the lights on, warm up the crowd, and then the lights go off. You get a big pop. Oh, the real show's starting. And people get like a kind of a tryout beforehand and get a different feel for it. So I'm going to do the pre-show matches on things on future shows. So what else do we have? I had the Sunday cancellation. Saturday, you know, so once the show started, it moved along. It got a little long, a little bit, but just enough where it was passable. And I really am a strong believer of having like a flow to a show. And if something goes too long, I think that's part of WrestlePro's success. And someone had this talk with, and I really just like, I thought it was a fine talk, but I was just like, I don't know, like, I'm very polished, and because I'm polished, I don't get this like indie cred sometimes. I'm not looking for that, but at the same time, like someone's like, well, you time your shows out and it's not just like an independent match where they go out there and do like 44 minutes and like you never know what could happen. And I'm just like, fuck, you know, like what kind of mindset is that? I don't know. Like, I'm sorry I'm not having two guys go out there and do whatever the fuck they want. And, you know, organization almost doesn't mix with the culture of independent wrestling sometimes. And I feel like that's a disservice. And I get flack for being polished with certain things, with having a structure of a show, if you will. I don't know. Fun show. I was in a, you know, situation where I wanted to do a 4-on-4 match as a main event. The reason why, because I had the Hardys, and first off, they were tag champions in TNA. And Matt is, I don't know if this is argued, he's the most popular act in wrestling. I feel that way. Granted, he's not in WWE and have that exposure. If he was and was that character, whew, Lord knows what that would be. But he's he's the most hottest independent act, if you really put it that way. Like, it's over. It's just fucking over. And they were over beforehand, and the Hardys will always be over, but they reinvented themselves and they have that second run going. Now they were going to be on the show. Now I knew that them being, you know, you had to protect them. Because why, if you're Matt Hardy, you can't, you know, like I said, you can put people over, but he shouldn't have to right now, because he could pop up on Raw tomorrow. He could pop up on SmackDown. He'll probably pop up again when Impact continues on. I hope they let him run that company, because he's the most creative dude there, I think. But there's no way that they were losing. And that's a call that I think we both would agree on. At the same time, you have Ryback there, and he is protected as well. And I'm his fucking agent, if you will, whatever. We talk about enough about that shit. And I want to put him in a good position. But then we're wrestling 4-on-4. Now, I was going to have that match just be 4-on-4 against the EJ5. The problem is that it's a 16-foot ring. We're not exactly small guys. I mean, the smallest men in that match, I think, were me and Buster. And he's probably, I don't know, 170. I'm probably around 200 again. Although I look a lot better. And I found a way to kayfabe some side fat. So I'll talk about that later. Sorry. Basically, Cabana told me about underwear. I shouldn't say that. There's ways to... I didn't know about this. I'll say this. I don't know if he'll get mad. I don't think he will. But I switched the singlet. And one time I was on the... When I did the Chris Gethard show with all of us and Rhino and X-Pac, I saw the guys put on their singlets and they all had like an extra singlet underneath. I'm like, what is that? I've never seen that before. And they're like, you know, it's body slimming. And I had no idea guys could wear that. And I've been wearing that now, and I look a lot slimmer. So I thank them for that. Anyway, so the match, I wanted to have 4-on-4 as the main event, but what do you do when you have a 16-foot ring and everyone's like kind of larger men, and how do you can't have that match. It's tough unless people squeeze into the corners, and it's just too much going on. So I'm like, okay, what if I do like elimination style, kind of like War Games, but it's not War Games. And we did that, and it worked perfectly. And you know, the I was the only one that took the pin on my team, but it got everything where it needed to be and ended the show perfectly. And then we reset for next year. So what happens now? I'm trying to make my footage a little bit better, because I'm realizing that's where independent wrestling is going. It's so weird. You know, a thing came out today where, you know, WWE is considering putting independent wrestling on the network, which I don't find hard to believe. I find the whole concept interesting, because since they want to put stuff on the network, then we have the stuff with Flow Slam. If people don't know what Flow Slam is, startup company, that and I talked about this, I think, in the last Pat Buck show, that is basically going, okay, independent wrestling's cool. That sort of subscription-based service will give money to certain independent promotions so they can produce better events, I guess, or talent, or they can pocket and the promoter can buy a new car, and they'll stream there and people will buy that stuff. Now, I don't know if that model's working, and I'll let it be known that they did not have any interest in me, I think, because I didn't have a library, or because they just think who they are. I actually didn't really get an answer, and I feel very snubbed by that, but that's okay, because I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing. And I think that more opportunities will come along, because like I said, these promoters or promotions like to boast and brag, but when it comes down to it, they own nothing. They don't have the, they may have relationships with certain indie talent. They don't own any equipment. They don't really have that strong access to buildings. And I just think that to produce talent or footage, I'm the person to go to. Because, hey, if a company goes, hey, Pat, we would like to see this matchup. Can you do it? Well, sure. You can take this date, let me know how you want to do it. And I'm headache free, which is a big part of it too, where other places are not headache free. But basically what I'm trying to say is that, like, with the network and everything, I think there's like a demand for content, because independent wrestling, it's a lot like comic book stuff, where I feel like the most over guys have transitioned with their backstories and people are more aware of them now. And it's cool. It's refreshing. NXT did that. Certain guys have that little extra oomph to them. Now, the thing came out where Evolve, who they have a brother relationship with WWE, puts their stuff on Flow Slam, which to me, I was like, oh, that's kind of shocking, because you would think the network would want their stuff. And I think that's weird if the network comes out with stuff and doesn't have Evolve stuff. That's weird to me. But then again, WWE is also an investor in the Flow Slam or Flow Sports company. So who knows? Maybe they don't give a shit. Maybe they're mad at it. I've heard they're mad at it, but who am I? I'm just repeating stuff I hear, which I don't know if it's true or not. So they've also been, they put a thing on their website, you know, should we have places like, you know, PWG, which they're not giving their shit up. No fucking way that they're gonna give up their library unless WWE pays them very, very well. If we see PWG stuff on the network, they fucking coughed up some major bank. Because I know Flo went to them and they said, no, they don't need it. Why would they? They have their operation, and kudos to them. Ring of Honor. I think Ring of Honor could end up on the WWE network. I think that would be the smart thing to do. Because as far as mainstream people that still don't know about wrestling, you will hear a lot about Ring of Honor. So I think that would be logical for the library. And to me, Ring of Honor is just a play. I don't fucking like Ring of Honor for one main reason. I fucking hate Ring of Honor because I can't book any Ring of Honor people. I can't book any Ring of Honor contracted people in the United States, yet they can go overseas and do whatever the fuck they want. And I just think that sucks. You know, if they have an off weekend and a guy can come in, and if I can book a Jay Lethal, if I can book an Adam Cole and protect them and do whatever the fuck they want to do, but I can't do so. But they can go to Scotland, they can go to England and do whatever the fuck they want. And it's just a bummer. It's a weird bummer. And the guys have to fight for, well, no, we still want to do PWG too. And they're like, okay. It's just nothing fucking adds up. And I know they're probably making good contracted money, but it's probably not as great contracted money. Or, you know, it's still probably, I'm willing to believe that they were able to take more independent things, they'd be having a better life than the money that they're getting from there. And it just sucks to me. I don't know. It makes me fucking mad. You know, I don't know. Because sometimes it's hard to get interesting matchups. And like, I went back to it. I don't want to fucking book. I really don't want to book. Like, look, you may see Nash and Hall on a show signing autographs, but I would much rather be able to book a Jay Lethal, a Kenny Omega. Well, Omega's different. He's not under Ring of Honor contract. But, you know, people from there, I would love to. Completely love to. And I think now, too, what's getting a little crazy is I'm wondering how it's going to work out with all the footage stuff. So, and I completely lost track of thought with that one. Apologies. So, Ring of Honor. So, basically, now there's people trying to get footage from independent wrestling places to make money off of it. And I kind of think, although I don't want to talk shit, is that if I'm getting paid, if people believe in their business model so strongly and they think that wrestling fans are willing to pay money for content, which they are for the WWE, and they are for stuff that they're very passionate about, I don't think there's that big of a market to get footage online for people to pay for a subscription service outside of the network or outside of what they would buy for, or something relatively affordable. Or if you have like a lot of, like High Spots has that. And I love High Spots, but they have a lot of like, you know, shoot interview stuff, different produced stuff. And I'm sure they do okay. And that's part of their bigger pay. They're involved. High Spots is involved with so many fucking things in wrestling that they're not reliant just on that. They make gear. They make my fucking ring stuff. Me and Michael talk all the time about WrestleCon coming up, which I hope you guys can come down and get tickets for, because I'm really hoping I sell the show out. But if you're strictly focusing on indie content, I don't know. I don't know how it's going to work out. But what I do think is going to happen is someone's going to come along and start streaming stuff for free. I'm doing that right now, and I'm doing so kind of as, I'll just put it out for free. Now, I don't want to stream every match for free, because some matches just aren't up to par. And I was actually really disappointed that last show, one match in particular I wish wasn't streamed, but that's on me, because a lot of my guys are students, guys and girls, and they're getting wet ready for, they're getting their feet wet in wrestling, and it may be like not a hidden thing on the show, but some of them aren't strong enough to represent my brand. And now what are they doing on the show? Well, I like to provide opportunity for some people, you know, and not every match can be a home run, and that's just the way it is. But if people want I don't think they'll ever be interested, with the exception of maybe, I don't know, unless the card is really stellar, for people to watch an entire independent wrestling show and have that interest. I think you have to go match to match or have a very short attention span. So people want, coming up, I have a show at Starland Ballroom, and I'll say it here. The match most likely is going to be Ryback versus Brian Cage. And I think that independent wrestling fans and mainstream fans, they're going to want to see that match. And I'm going to stream it for free. And I think people will be like, fuck. So then now understand this. This company is paying money to an independent promotions to bring in people, or for whatever reason, to get their footage or to up their, I don't know. You know what I mean? And I already have, I think, a mainstream guy, which clearly it is with Ryback, and an indie darling like Brian Cage of Lucha Underground, of whatever, and I'm going to give it for free. I don't need any fucking extra money. So how come I get snubbed, by Flow Slam? I don't even get an email back. And to me, that was kind of like, okay, you guys do what you do. I'll just do what I do. But eventually someone's going to say, okay, hey, paying for stuff isn't the way to go. However, putting it out there for free and trying to make the money off the advertising and the looks and getting people that way, that's going to be the way to go. Like a YouTube person or a fucking, one of those, God, we all know there's millions of people, not millions, but a lot of people that make their lives off their YouTube show or if Vine's a dead thing, off their Instagram posts. That's the way to go. It's not with a service. You know what I mean? Like, you can be a part of a thing, but you got to put free content out there. It's like podcasting. If you have to pay for this shit, would you download the Pat Buck Show? I wouldn't. That's what it is. Promote it for free. Make money on the advertising. That's the way to fucking go. And I'm going to prove myself with that because, hey, why not? I don't know. So enjoy the streaming shows. If not, get a ticket. Let me see what else I have here. I got really tired saying that. It's December now. Fuck, I have to pay rent and I gotta pay two rents. I gotta pay a lot of rent for all my endeavors. I'm growing a handlebar mustache. I don't know why I put that into the notes, but I did. I gave my opinions. I'm planning a fucking tour. I'm finalizing this. Not that this was stressful. It actually worked out pretty well. But planning the 9-day tour for Ryback in England. It's not an ordeal, but I'm like, I could do this. And I did it, and it starts pretty soon. So you guys can check out feedmemore.com for all those details. And I'm just mapping out the year, getting ready for Christmas time. Going to turn the big 3-3 on the 24th. And that's about it. WrestleProOnline.com, CreatorProWrestling.com. You can, review this on whatever, iTunes. Thank you for your support, for listening to this. And thank you for, checking out the other podcasts that we're doing pretty well with. And if you really love us, check out one of our ads, but just leave a review. Look, there's like 83 reviews on Conversation with the Big Guy. Like, I have more students than that, I think, combined, or at least people that work for me and work for Creator Pro and Wrestle Pro. So I'm like, okay, I can at least double that if all my guys that at least pretend to like me could leave a review. That being said, thank you for listening. Thank you to the Shining Wizards Network for putting this up. Thank you to Eddie for helping me edit this thing, keep it going. And that's about it. So till next time, see ya.